Welcome, Lund Loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center, right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low-T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. It is a Saturday. Love Saturdays, man. Sleep in a little bit. Myself situated there. I guess that's best right there. Thank you for joining us on a... Jeez, my mic is a whack. There we go. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday. It's Saturday. Let's do roll call momentarily. It is 10:19. I ask for your mercy in being late today. I started working on a side project. It was about 10 to 10 and I 10 to 10 Pacific. And I was working on some side project and all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, it's like 15 after. So I apologize for making you wait. Episode 89 is what we're up to. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, on Bay Area Sports Collective as well. Please make sure you're subscribed to both of those places. On X, you may be watching us and I see the numbers growing on X as I look at John Lund Radio. Instagram this morning at John Lund Radio, Twitch if you want to hit us up there, Facebook, that is my personal Facebook, John Lund. They're making me wait a little bit longer to put it on John Lund Unleashed, but you can hit us up both in the, both of those places, John Lund and John Lund Unleashed on Facebook. So however you're watching, thank you for taking the time for the shows. We continue to grow the community. It's awesome. We're over 4,000 and we're growing every single day. Please, if you're hitting me up at John Lund Unleashed, do the same at Bay Area Sports Collective as we're trying to grow that with Tom Tolbert, myself, and Polly Mack, as well as Creative Tony. So make sure that you do that. We're growing that thing every day. Episode 89, Juice is back. I am confused. I got to be honest with you. Nothing against Juice, but as you can see right there, that's Luke Farrell on the right-hand side, who's a much better blocker and can take over for Juice. I love Juice in the locker room, but that's the only reason he's back. I'll explain. Dre versus the dollars. That's what I mean. Every dollar you spend on somebody means that's a dollar you could have spent on Dre Greenlaw, which is really what you need. All these other guys, these losses, I think the local media has it all wrong. As a lot of people are like, why did they let Leonard Floyd go? Why did they let Malik Collins go? Because they sucked. Go look at the numbers. You know, even if you don't believe Pro Football Focus, they're generally, and I say this all the time, I don't think they're perfect. But, for example, if you look at the top 10 edge rushers, those are the top 10 edge rushers. If you look at the top 10 offensive tackles, those are the top 10 offensive tackles. Like, they've got it pretty well right. And so when they say that Leonard Floyd was the 102nd ranked edge rusher, or when they say that Kyle Juszczyk has a blocking grade of 69, which is below average, nice, when you're looking for something in the 80s or the 90s, that's what's elite. And then you sign the guy back. And I know it wasn't for very much money, but what I'm saying is every dollar that you spend that you add means that dollar could have gone to Dre Greenlaw, which is somebody that you really needed. So anyway, we'll discuss, and I'm not anti-Juice. I like Juice. It's just I like juice boxes, but I don't get this one at all because you gave Luke Farrell $20 million over 3 years to do what Juice does. He's not a receiver, Luke Farrell. He had 12 catches last year. He's a blocker, and his blocking grade was like 80.6. So he's a really good blocker. And you can put him in motion, make him a move tight end, put him in the backfield. He can do everything Juice did. You don't give it to Juice. You don't throw it to Juice. Juice is an okay, not elite blocker. What do? He's really good friends with George Kittle, and he's great in the locker room. Wonderful. I thought you weren't giving away those emotional thank you contracts anymore. I'm not angry about the offseason. I've been one that to actually defend what they've done and understood what they've done. Whenever it's like, what are they doing? It's not really hard to figure out what they're doing. But this one doesn't make sense because if you want a juice back, fine, then don't sign Luke Farrell. They're redundant. And you gave one guy $20 million over 3 years, and then Juice gets not a lot, $4 million, but okay, add them up. That's $10 million between the two of them. What did Dre Greenlaw make? 11. Huh? You needed Dre Greenlaw. You don't need two tight ends / fullbacks. You don't. Doesn't make sense. Cup to Seattle, NFC West, Curry's 3 record. I wrote a piece, and I want you to see this if you haven't read it. It's at johnlundunleashed.com, and going into the piece, I thought, you know, I'm going to be writing a piece here that not that it's easy to break Steph Curry's record of three-pointers made now at 4,000 as they take on the Knicks today at 5:30 at Chase. But I just thought it was going to be something where, you know, someone would definitely do it. And they probably will, but it's a lot harder than you think. Like, I broke down the numbers and what it would take, and there are certainly no current players that are going to do it. But I do think there's going to be a guy that comes into the league who has the full Steph Curry effect, which is, in other words, the green light that Steph really didn't have at the beginning with Nelly. And you can see where kind of it ramped up for Steph, and now it's just crazy. But it's going to take that kind of an effort, a guy shooting like 11, 12 a game, and then hitting, say, 42, 43, 44% of those shots to get Steph. But that player is going to have to play for a long time. So I did the kind of the breakdown, and I think it's kind of fun. Curry at 37. Somebody caught him in an elevator. It's a really cool video because we've all been there. Like, I'm 37. I'm close to 40. So we'll get into that. 5:30, Knicks at Golden State. That's Pacific time. The schedule for the Warriors as we come down the stretch, night cut. The Giants opening day lineup in Scottsdale today against the Mariners. Random stuff always happens. And the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol, even on a Saturday where we try to keep this thing nice and tight. If you are new, thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, subscribe, John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. People have been here a while, and like I said, I apologize. It is great to see you, AJ Cruz. Skills, good to see you, my friend. Let's see. I want to make sure, because if you do a dream thing, I don't want to make you pay every single time you got to do a dream thing. So I want to make sure that if you're not dreaming, you're telling a big KFC story. I like that. I'm gonna pop that up a little bit later, I promise. Skills is here. Jake is here. Joy is here. Good morning, John Holmes, my friend. Let's see, who else do we have? By the way, if you are brand new, I love it if you would pop up on the board and at least say hello so that everybody can acknowledge you. Good morning, Jeff. It is great. I didn't have a banger last night. I'm still popping off the screen. I got to fix that. You know what we watched is Severance. Is everybody into Severance, which is just totally weird. And then we watched, we watched the first episode of the new Robert De Niro. It's a short series. Like, I don't know how many episodes, maybe four or five. It's an hour, and he's the former president, and everything goes haywire. It was just okay. I didn't love it. Didn't hate it. I'll give it another chance. You got to give it a minute with new stuff. So I'll give it another episode, but I wasn't like blown away by the whole thing. Good morning, Kyle. Baba Booey. Rockin' New Era 84 is here. 49ers. Brian, it's great to see you, my friend. Who else do we have in here today? Absolutely great to see everybody on a Saturday. And I do appreciate you making the time because hi, Andrew, it's great to see you, my friend. It is great to see you. Let's see, Todd, good morning to you. Hurley Bird, hello, Wonder Boy. Hello, Wonder Boy. Let's see, how do I say this? Because I see you popping in here all the time. Hang on a minute. Poop USA Fiend. I probably mispronouncing that because it is early and my eyes aren't quite working. Hi, Bill M. It is great to see you. I just want to make sure. Hi, Joshua. Good morning. I may have seen Joshua. Johnny. Here's Johnny. Who else do we have today? So if you are new, please say hello to everybody because it is a great community. I'm very happy of it. Hey, I hadn't seen you in a while, Christopher. Very nice to see you. Enrique, good morning. Just subscribed twice. Thank you, my friend. That's what we need. We need John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective. Please, please, please. Let's see. You tripping? I like you tripping. I've seen you before. Andrew, good morning to you. Man, we got a lot of people in today, man. This is awesome, dude. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, I know. I'm down with you. I understand. As a guy who lived in Pittsburgh and my son was born in Pittsburgh because of my radio travels, not my favorite place. No offense to anybody. But you had to grade women on a curve. No offense. I'm not objectifying women. I'm simply saying that what was a 4 in other parts of the country was an 11 in Pittsburgh. I can tell you that right now. Anyway, that's not nice. I like Pittsburgh. Great space, great place. All right. Good morning to everybody. Let's get going as we are about 10 minutes into the show and we got everything out of the way that we needed to get out of the way. So let me preface everything, okay, this morning with saying I really like Juice, man. I really do. I like Juice. I like Kyle Juszczyk. He is awesome. Had him on every single year from training camp. Talked to him many times. He's in the type of guy that he is that you see that speaks to the media. As far as I know, I don't go home with the guy and he and Christian, who makes the wonderful jackets. I don't know him off the field. We are not friends. I don't go eat pizza at his house. I'm probably not smart enough to hang out with the Juszczyk. She is obviously brilliant. He went to Harvard. So I'm not saying I know him. We're not friends. We don't hang out. In the arena that I'm able to interact with Kyle Juszczyk, he's an awesome guy. So as I always tell you, this is not by no means personal, but I think with the local media, it kind of is. Like, they love him so much that they're not seeing. And as I point this out on the show cover today, see the guy in the background? That's Mr. Luke right there, okay? Luke Farrell. And he's under a big contract. So let me I want to start with the Warriors today. But, oh, no, I have Juice back at the top. All right. So let me just look. Let me just show you something real quick. I know I put the contracts up there, didn't I? If I didn't, I'm so mad at myself because I know I did it. Let's see. I may have to go in and grab something real quick. See, I was rushing and I was screwing around, and now I'm messed up here. Standings, bracket, Warriors. Dang it. I know I have it. Hang on 1 second. Hang on 1 minute. I gotta put a piece of a picture on the screen here that I want to show you really quickly. I cannot believe I didn't do this. I know I took the picture of it. Here it is right here. So let me just do this real fast because I want to explain something, and it's nothing against Juice. It's just that if you're going to sign Big Luke, who's an elite blocker at about an 82 blocking grade, according to Pro Football Focus, then Juice is out the door. They've already replaced him. And I've said that before. And Kyle Juszczyk has a blocking grade of about 69, which is a nice number, but it's not a great blocking grade. Think of it as a grade in terms of your grade at school. And if you got a 70, you're like, whew, I made it. If you got a 69, you're like, oh, that's a D or a D plus or something like that. So this is what I'm talking about. All right. So we know what the offseason looks like, but I'm just explaining something. Every dollar that someone spends is a dollar that could have went to Dre Greenlaw. Something is becoming very obvious to me in regards to not signing Greenlaw. But okay, Luke Farrell is their big signing of the offseason, and that's over $6 million, almost $7 million. I haven't seen the structure of the contract, but per year, that's $6 to $7 million, right? So again, Dre signed for 11. I don't have a problem with Demarcus Robinson. They needed a veteran receiver to take over for Ayuk in the short term. Mac Jones, backup quarterback at 3.5, not horrible. The long snapper's not making anything. Grant, Gifford, and Pinnock are all special teams players. I guess Patrick Taylor, okay. I don't know what Dre Brown got. I tried to look at it this morning. He's injured a lot. Givens resigned, Robinson resigned, Botch resigned, and then all the guys who were traded and released, and Juszczyk can be taken off that number because he is back. But my question becomes this. Farrell and Juszczyk are the same thing, except Farrell's better and younger. So when they signed Luke Farrell, I knew that Kyle Juszczyk was gone because I was like, well, this is the move tight end. And he's not the number two to George Kittle unless they think that he's just been vastly underused. But he got 12 balls last year. So he's not a receiving tight end. He's not that number two tight end to George Kittle that we've all been doing. They need a number two. Got to take some pressure off George. That person is probably going to be acquired in the draft because the draft has got a lot of good pass-catching tight ends this year. It's a really deep draft. And there's not a lot of great blockers, just like the offensive line in college. It takes a long time for these guys to understand how to block. But there's a lot of good receivers in the draft. So I thought what was going to happen is Farrell would be the third tight end, move tight end, blocking tight end, which is important. He would flip to the backfield and be able to block and take Juszczyk's place there. He's much younger. Played Ohio State. He's a big guy, like 6'5", 255. And Kyle Juszczyk is not a guy that on third and one, third and two, and we've seen this not just last year, the last couple of years, last few years, actually, is that they're just not getting enough movement in short yardage. They're not good in short yardage. They're not good in the red zone. They weren't last year, and a lot of it was McCaffrey not being there. I understand that. But it's because they're not getting movement on the line. Now, some of that's Brendel, who's not a good – well, Brendel's a good run-blocking center, actually, according to the numbers. He's not a good pass-blocking center, which is why they need to replace him because middle pressure is bad for Brock Purdy. But I digress. I'm talking about the run game. So you signed Farrell to over $6 million a year. So that tells me that you must think he's a number two, but he had 12 catches last year. So to me, he's a move tight end. You can put him in the backfield, and he's got a blocking grade of 82, an above-average blocker. Okay, so that's what they've done. So again, keeping in mind that every dollar spent, like Luke Farrell for $6 million, is a dollar that you didn't give to Dre Greenlaw, and that's where my problem comes in. So as I look back up at this at the numbers as far as Kyle Juszczyk is concerned, and again, I like Kyle Juszczyk, all right? I really do. But from a numbers perspective, and I know that's small print, but at the bottom there, as you can see, what do you say you do here? Well, he doesn't catch the ball a lot. He doesn't run the ball a lot, as you can see there. They don't give it to him. They don't throw it to him. He's got 33 catches the last 2 years. He had five runs last year, and remember near the goal line where he had that fumble. So, again, I like juice. This isn't in any way, shape, or form an anti-juice type of a discussion. It's not. But they don't utilize him. He's open a lot. Like, you'll see him with his hand up down the left sideline going, if someone could please throw me the ball. Teams don't even cover him, so they don't. So they don't. It's not that he's not good. They just don't utilize him. He doesn't catch the ball. He doesn't run the ball. And as you can see right here from Pro Football Focus, there's just not a lot of tight end, a lot of fullbacks in the league. His overall number at 61.8, that's not a good number. Anything in the 60s is bad, all right, as far as Pro Football Focus. So he's pretty good. You know, he's a pretty good pass blocker, but you don't leave him in there a lot for pass blocking. That's what some, you know, you've got a regular running back to do that. You're not really leaving him in as a fullback to pass block. So run blocking is really what would be his calling card if you're going to keep him on the team. A fullback in front of Christian McCaffrey, especially on short yardage situations. But as you can see there, RBLK means run block. And that's 69.7. Now, in retrospect to the rest of the fullbacks in the league, because there's not very many, he's actually the best one. But 69.7 is a below average blocking number. 70 and above is a C. Luke Farrell has an 82.7, which was second best among tight ends. So my thought was, you're going to put him in the backfield. You're going to put him as a move tight end. You paid him $6 million. And now, as far as the fullback and the backup tight end position is concerned, you've put Juice at about $4 million, and you've put Luke Farrell at about $6 million. Now you're at $10 million at that position. I don't get it. Like, you cut all these guys and lost all, and you're putting $10 million into the fullback / backup tight end spot. And Farrell's not a real backup tight end because he caught 12. And Juszczyk, you don't utilize in the pass game or the run game, except as a blocker where he's below average. Make it make sense. And then today, I look at all the people who cover the 49ers and like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. You already replaced the guy with a $6 million player when you're cutting salaries left and right. Make it make sense. It doesn't. He's not an elite blocker. He doesn't run the ball. And when he does, he fumbled like last year. You don't utilize him in the pass game. Not that he can't be utilized. Like they were talking about, it came down to the Steelers and the 49ers. He could catch 40, 50 balls, 60 balls a year. He's a really good receiver, but they don't throw it to him. He had 19 catches last year, had 14 the year before, 33 receptions in the last 2 years. He ran it five times last year. So his calling card has to be blocking, and it's below average. And Luke Farrell is an above average blocker. And so he's a perfect three tight end. He needs 6'5", 255. So who do I want trying to burrow out on a third and one, third and two, where the 49ers have struggled over the last few years on the short yardage situations? I want Luke Farrell, who's 6'5 and 255. And I want him to even gain some weight. And I want him to be a hammer fullback to come through there. And I want him to be a move tight end. I want him to be those things. But apparently the 49ers have decided, because of the money, he's a number two tight end, even though he caught 12 balls last year. And he's the answer to the backup to Kittle. And Kyle Juszczyk's going to continue to be the fullback and being a below average blocker in the hole. Make it make sense. I like juice, but I explained this whole thing. I wrote a piece at johnlundunleashed.com. And I said, I gave it a panic level of 3, but I put who can replace him. It's already done. Luke Farrell, 27 at 6'5", 255, much bigger, signed day one, 20.25. And he was PFF's 20th ranked tight end, but second in pass block at 82.7. The guy can block. And then, as I said, he's not the receiver Juice is with only 12 catches, but he fits the physical style the 49ers want to get back to. And as I talked about Juice, 33 receptions the last 2 years, the bottom of that first one, 19 the past year, 10 carries the past two seasons. I said his best attribute is he's a great culture guy, and the 49ers can't afford that anymore. So they gave a thank you contract, culture contract, to Kyle Juszczyk after the entire offseason being cold and calculated, which I don't have an issue with. But you got to be consistent in what you do. So what are you? Are you cold and calculated, or are you warm and fuzzy? Kyle Juszczyk is a warm and fuzzy signing. They don't utilize him in the pass game, 19 catches last year. They don't utilize him in the running game, 5 runs last year, including a key fumble inside the 5-yard line. And his Pro Football Focus blocking grade is 69.7 in the run game, and the 49ers have struggled over the last few years in short yardage situations. So they brought in Luke Farrell at 6'5", 255 to hammer that linebacker and to get those short yardage situations. They paid him $6 million to do it. And then you just paid Juice 2 and 8, which is $4 million. I don't know how they're structured, but that's $10 million. Dre Greenlaw's 11. Who do you want? Luke Farrell and Kyle Juszczyk or Dre Greenlaw, who you don't have a replacement for in the roster? They must have looked at Dre Greenlaw's medicals and just said, nope, not comfortable with it. Not comfortable with 3 and 35. It's 11.6 a season. Again, I don't know how it's structured. I bet the last year is a dummy year, if not the last 2 years are dummy years. I tried to look it up this morning. There is no information yet on SpotRack or over the cap on Dre Greenlaw's deal. So I'll be interested to see how it's structured. I'm just going to, off the top of my head, I'm going to say the third year is a dummy year. And it would have been a 2 year commitment to Dre Greenlaw and hold your breath on the Achilles. I get it, but they don't have anybody to replace him. And they already replaced Juszczyk. So all the people that probably know more than me are going, oh, this makes a lot of sense. It makes no sense. It flies in the face of everything that they've done in this offseason, which is cold and calculated, cold and calculated, cold and calculated. We love Juice in the locker room, warm and fuzzy. That's his best attribute. He's great friends with Kyle Juszczyk. His wife is great friends with Claire Kittle. His presence in the locker room is amazing. He's a great guy. Christian McCaffrey loves him. So I guess those guys went to management, went, come on, man, bring him back. Just bring him back. It doesn't make sense. Because they were cold and calculated one day when they let him go, and then they signed Luke Farrell, but they signed Farrell actually before, and now they're warm and fuzzy again because what? Kittle complained and McCaffrey complained? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make sense on the field. There's no way that this makes sense other than I love Kyle Juszczyk and so do you. And his wife makes cool jackets and he's great to have in the club, in the locker room. And look, there is something to be said for that. I absolutely agree that there is something to be said for that. But when you're being cold and calculated, your entire offseason can be summed up in cold and calculated. What's that? Three words? Cold and calculated. Calculated. Cold and calculated. Yeah, three words. That's your offseason. Cold and calculated. Kyle Juszczyk, warm and fuzzy. Offseason, cold and calculated. Doesn't make any sense. And you already replaced him with a guy for $6 million a season. I'm done. Don't want to rip on him. I like the guy. But it makes no sense. It makes no sense. So that's the Juice back part of the show. Dre versus dollars. That's all I'm saying about Dre Greenlaw is I look at every one of these signings, I think to myself, what equals $11 million that you didn't need? And it's either or on Farrell and Juszczyk, not both. So you spent $10 million at the Farrell's a third tight end, but you're going to make him a second tight end. And Juszczyk is redundant if you have Farrell. And you spent $10 million there. So there's basically Greenlaw's contract. I don't understand it. Grant, Gifford, and Pinnock are all special teams players. So if you want two of those guys, I get it. I'm not upset over Mac Jones because that's $3.5 million. And again, we got to see how it's structured. But you need a backup quarterback, and that's pretty cheap. Trey Brown confuses the hell out of me, the corner from the Seahawks about midway through there. I haven't seen his contract, but he's injured a ton in Seattle. And you needed a veteran corner so that you could start those two, I think. Renardo Green comes off the bench, and you move Lenore into the slot. Trey Brown is not a reliable corner. He's always hurt, which is something the Niners try to get away from, and then they sign a guy like that. Head scratching. Understand Givens, understand Robinson, who they think is going to be able to replace Greenlaw. I doubt it, coming off the knee injury. Bartsch could have an opportunity at left guard to replace Banks. And we know the stuff about Debo, Hargrave, Collins, Floyd, and Tabor Pepper sucks because he's a really good dude, but I get it. You're going to John Weeks at $1.422 million. I don't know what they save, maybe some pennies there, but I understand that. So, and I'm not, like I said, I saw a thing yesterday where somebody said, well, why did they release Collins and Floyd by somebody who's really smart? Go look at their numbers. They were terrible. Malik Collins was terrible last year. Leonard Floyd, you can have 8.5 sacks and have a terrible year. And he did because he played over 600 snaps. And the other 600 snaps he played beyond the 8.5 sacks, he was horrid. He was the 102nd ranked edge guy because against the run, he was one of the worst. Like he was like 173rd. I didn't know there was 173 edge rushers in the league. He was like third from the bottom in setting the edge, which is if you're the 49ers, it's like, dude, the 8.5 sacks is wonderful. But the fact is that you're going to play a lot more snaps against the run than you are in rushing the passer. And he's 240 pounds and he couldn't get it done. So look, I'm not upset over things. It's just, if you're going to decide to do something in the off season, then that's your direction. You know, you've decided you're cold and calculated. You decided you're not warm and fuzzy, and the Juszczyk signing is a warm and fuzzy. So I'm not mad, and I'm not mad at Juszczyk. I'm just simply saying that's weird. Oh, did I miss a Krug mock draft? I'll talk to him. I think we're doing something Monday, him and I. This thing about me popping off the screen, I got to figure this thing out, man. Let me see something real quick. Edit name, stop mic or webcam, solo layout. I don't know. Something, I got to figure something out. Anyway, whatever. It happens. It's not that big of a deal, to be honest with you. All right, give me your thoughts on Juszczyk. I don't love that move, even though I love him. So it's really hurting me. It's really hurting me to do all these kind of things. Yeah, believe me, we have this conversation so much. Don't forget, John Lynch made a huge mistake training Butler and getting Kinlaw. Like I said, take that a step further, because I hate to bring this up, because I don't want to be negative. It's Saturday. We want to be positive. And I'm going to flip to the Warriors, which is a much better story, or much more fun story, I should say, in a second here, and Curry, and they're playing the Knicks and all those kind of things. And down the stretch they come. There's a lot of stuff. But you take it a step further. And I actually pulled this off the board this morning because I didn't want to show it again. But Kinlaw goes to the Vikings, are going to eat $8 million for him not to play for him this year. But then it gets worse, $17 million of dead cap in 2026 for Hargrave. So if you want to take that a step further, traded Buckner, got Kinlaw. Kinlaw didn't work, got Hargrave. Hargrave didn't work. You're eating, after 2 years of sucking, $8 million this year for him not to play for you, and $17 million next year for him not to play for you. And you still do not have an interior defensive lineman that can replace Buckner. That's one of the worst moves in the history of the organization, that move. Honestly, as far as if you follow the chain, and everybody knows that. We've talked about it a million times, so we're not going to do that again. But I'm just saying, it's like, I don't believe. Yeah, oh, no, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have watched it. I'm not, like I said, I don't want to rip juice. I don't want to rip juice, but the only reason he's coming back, hey, what's going on, man? Good to see you. Sup? Hella this, hella that. I like it. I like it a lot, as a matter of fact. Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome, hella this, hella that. I don't know that I've popped you up on the screen before, but it is awesome to have you in the community, and we appreciate you coming in on a Saturday. Thank you, man. Like I said, this really is causing a fight in my head, because I really like the person. I really do. I really like the person. But then don't sign Farrell for 3 years and $20 million. Luke Farrell, the tight end. Don't do that, because you've just put $10 million in the backup tight end in the fullback spot when you're just cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting and being ruthless. Like I said, the only thing, and we'll find this out because I want to see what the Dre Greenlaw contract looks like, but the only thing that this screams is they just hated the medicals on Dre Greenlaw. They just didn't believe him. They didn't like him coming off the Achilles, and they're the ones who would know best. So, who knows? But I'm going to stop short of guaranteeing this, because teams get desperate at positions, and I understand that. But the Dre Greenlaw contract is going to be a contract that is probably dead after 1 year, if not certainly after two. I'm just going to say that. And I think that the 49ers could have afforded him, because if you're putting $10 million, I would have just said, look, my number one priority is Dre Greenlaw. We can be cold and calculated and ruthless with the rest of these guys, but we're not going to be that way with Greenlaw, because he's that important. The rest of these guys have explained it. Go to johnlundunleashed.com. I've explained completely how panicked you should be, if you should be panicked, if, you know, all these things. If you're new, and in fact, on a Saturday, I'll just pop this up there because we probably got a lot of new people watching. But let me pop up this is actually the Curry piece that I want you to read, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Will Steph Curry's three-point record ever be broken? And when I first started writing it, I was like, yeah, it is going to be, and I'll explain to you why. And then by the end of it, I was like, well, I don't know about that. So I'm going to do that for you in just a second, but let me just blog-wise, there you go. 49ers didn't lose as much as you think, and I've gone over this with everybody, so I'm not going to do it deeply right here. And this was a few days ago, so obviously there's been some changes. But like I said, Greenlaw's an 8 because they don't have him replaced. Ward played at a 56 last year. He was like the 80th-ranked corner. So if you're getting 23 Ward, yeah, that's different than 24 Ward, but they're going to be okay with Renardo Green. Kyle Juszczyk, I explained, Farrell's replacing him. Hufanga, you've already got Mustafa replacing him. Leonard Floyd was terrible last year. 53.5, like I said, ranked 102nd, and his run grade was one of the worst in the NFL. So got 8.5 sacks, but the panic level is 7 because they have no one to replace him. Hargrave, I just explained. panic level 8. Not, it's a 3 on Hargrave, but they have nobody interior wise. 4 and 77 for Banks. Stop. Moore, 2 and 30. Stop. For a swing tackle, Elijah Mitchell hasn't been relevant since 2021. So as I point out there, the defense, yeah, there's not a lot of guys on defense, but they were the one thing that no one's acknowledging is that they were actually a terrible defense last year. So why would you want to keep all those guys anyway? And look, they got a lot of work to do. And I've showed this before too, and I'll get into Curry in just a second. So let me just hit that and then I'll put a pin in that and we'll come back to it. But they weren't good. They lost their defensive coordinator. They lost their assistant defensive coordinator. Like, I'm not, I'm not that worried that they lost those guys. Anyway, we've gone over that. We have tread that turf before, so we won't go through it a bunch, but I know there's new people on Saturday. So if you haven't been to the website, just go to johnlundunleashed.com and you can check all that stuff out. Very cool. Hang on. Stop it. Vintage oddball cards. If you really, do you have vintage oddball cards? Her jackets, juice play, the dude kills the passing game. Purdy needs more passing options. I'm not disagreeing with you, the vintage oddball cards, but he's got 33 catches in the last 2 years. He's got 19 last year. That's not a large amount. I love the guy, but here's the problem. He's running down the left sideline with his hand like this wide open. He doesn't get, they don't even cover his ass because they're like, man, I got to throw it to him. Like, he averages 2-3 catches a game. That's not enough. Look, if they utilized him to the level that he could be utilized and he caught 40 to 50 balls so the teams had to go, damn, we have to cover another guy, it'd be cool. Like, I'd be down with it. I don't need him to carry the ball. I carried it 5 times, had that key fumble inside the 5, which helped him lose a game. Like, I'm not, and that's not why I'm saying this about him. I don't care. He's not a runner. I get it. But he's not a hammer blocker. He's a below average blocker at fullback. And that's why, that's his main job on this team. And they just signed Luke Farrell at $6 million to do that job. You're either cold and calculated or you're warm and fuzzy. Which are you, 49ers? Which are you? You were just warm and fuzzy after being cold and calculated. If you're going to be warm and fuzzy, you should have been warm and fuzzy with Dre Greenlaw to me, because there's nobody to replace him on this team, both as a, and again, talking about a guy who's a leader, a guy who is part of the culture. That's what a Juszczyk is, but that's what Dre Greenlaw was defensively. And offensively, with, I got news for you, with or without Kyle Juszczyk, they're going to score points. They're going to. Brock Purdy's going to get re-signed. I think that McCaffrey's going to be healthy. Kittle's back. You hope that Ricky Pearsall does what he does. Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson isn't terrible. Got to wait for Brandon Ayuk. They will score points. They'll replace Aaron Banks, who wasn't even very good. Jalen Moore's not even a factor as a swing tackle, please. So they're going to be fine. Offensively, they'll score within the top 10. They'll score enough points to be a playoff team against this bad schedule. Defensively, they have major problems. Their front 7 is atrocious outside of Bosa and Warner. In fact, outside of Bosa and Warner, the other 5 guys combined on this defense as it sits today, and there is no game today, but with those other 5 guys, it might be the worst in the league. We're thinking that maybe Curtis Robinson might be one of the players. Jordan Elliott is a defensive tackle starter right now. Who's the other edge? Sam Okwuonu is the other edge. No, I don't know. I mean, it's not, sorry, Robert Beal. I don't know who's going to, like, they're going to draft guys. I get it. They have 11 picks in the draft. This isn't, you know, it's under construction. It's like walking into your house when there's a remodel going on and your kitchen's torn apart and you screaming at the construction guys. Like, it's not done. Like, give us a minute. Get out of here. Like, when we moved into our house, like, 3 years ago, my wife had a vision for the house and I looked at it and I looked around and I go, I don't see it. I guess that's not me. I don't get it. So I'm looking around the house going, oh my God, this is atrocious. How is this going to work? My wife's like, just be patient. Just don't come around. You know, come around in a couple of weeks. And so, okay, I did. And guess what? It's incredible. It's awesome. But she had a vision. She understood. And the one thing about the 49ers is, and I'll do this until they prove me otherwise, I will give them the benefit of the doubt because they deserve it. The Giants don't deserve benefit of doubt. The Warriors, now that Joe Lacob has pulled a rabbit of a hat and his name's Jimmy Butler, they deserve benefit of the doubt because I said this yesterday, they're a contender. I don't care what anybody says, they're a contender. So there are certain teams that deserve benefit of the doubt because they've done it again and again and again. John and Kyle and company have proven that they can go in the draft beyond the first round. And I know that they got Nick Bosa. I know that they got Brandon Ayuk, but they've other than those two, they haven't re-signed to a long-term extension their first round picks, other than those two. So first round, you're like, eh. But rounds 2 through 7, they nail that. So let's say they nail 2 through 7. They had a good draft last year. All of a sudden, hey, we're cooking with gas. You got a last place schedule. They're, you know, I'm just simply saying that right now, as we sit, and you got to have vision, and I'm sure they do. Robert Saleh didn't come. I can guarantee you this too, that when they sat down with Robert Saleh, they didn't hide the game plan from him. I guarantee Kyle sat down and Jed sat down and John Lynch sat down and they said, look, this is going to be a rough offseason and we're going to cut a bunch of guys, just so you know. So just so you know, some of these guys aren't going to be around. You still cool? And Robert Saleh's like, yeah, I'm still cool. So yeah, it's a major asset that Robert Saleh's around, but I don't care if you're the greatest coach of all time. As the defense sits right now, especially in the front seven, which it's Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and just about nothing. They've got a lot of work to do on the defensive side of the ball. Can they do it? Sure, they could. It's going to be a lot of drafting, things like that, but that's what I mean about Kyle Juszczyk. I love Kyle Juszczyk. A, they replaced him already with Luke Farrell, and B, all of your resources to this point forward other than left guard and center should be defense, 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 and specifically in the front seven. So, all right, we've spent 35 minutes on that. Give me your thoughts, and I want to go over to some greener pastures with the 49ers. Give me your thoughts on what I had to say. And I don't want this to come across as I hate Juice. I don't. I think he's a great guy, but I understood their direction, which was cold and calculated, cold and calculated, cold and calculated. Oh, warm and fuzzy, cold and calculated, cold and calculated. Oh, warm and fuzzy. I don't want to come across as bitter, too, at Saturday. We want to see your dog. Okay. Let me see if I can. I doubt my wife is watching on a Saturday, but I can bring in the dog. His name is Bentley. And that was his name, by the way. I've gotten some grief on this. It's an amazing story, the dog, by the way. I'm gonna tell it in a second. can we get Kolsky? Do you like Matt Kolsky? Kolsky, I believe, is in Chicago. But I can do that. If you're a fan of Kolsky, I'm sure I can get his number somehow. I have no problem. By the way, if you do have guest requests, because I will start getting guests on the show, I promise you. I keep saying that, and then I'll get one every once in a while. I know a lot of people and everything. I just, you know, I haven't gotten the guests on, but I will if that's something that you prefer. Forgive Fossey for not being around much. He's been an epic bender of a lifetime. I love you, Fossey. Car bombs, baby. I'm going to have to do one of those because you talked about it on Friday, Todd, and I may have to do one of those things just for the heck of it. It is Saturday after all. And my wife she wants to hang out today. She's been very nice and she's very supportive of the show. And I'm on the show a lot. Then I'm doing a lot of stuff around the show. And then now she's like, okay, it's Saturday. That's enough. So anyway, thank you, Todd. Todd is on a roll right now, by the way. Let's give Todd a lot of love today. He has racked up 3 supers. If you absolutely positively 100% want to get your thought on the show, all you have to do is click up a super. That's not too much to ask. Do remember, if you're watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio, or you're watching on Twitch, or you're watching on X at John Lund Radio, and we're racking up a few this morning, just head off over to YouTube and you can get yourself in the chat and you too can subscribe, be a super, get your thoughts on the board. Good morning, Pine Needle. It is nice to see you, my friend. Nice to see you. Let's see. Should we flip over to, before I do this, let me flip over to a little bit of discussion. Ooh, that's painful. Not going to really disagree with you, though. Hi, Dennis. Good to see you. See, this is what I like. I support Juice. Going to help Brockmore. See, that's cool, man. Denicio Castro. Denicio. But what a great name, by the way. This is the greatness of being in this room. No one's going to rip you for having a differing opinion. I love Juice, man, and I hope it works out. I really do. I really hope it's great. It's not consistent with what they've done in the offseason, and they've already replaced him. But I've said that 50 times, and we're 38 minutes into the show, so it's fine. I'll move on. I'll get past it. I'm just saying right there, Dre versus dollars. Every dollar that you spent on somebody else not named Dre Greenlaw is a dollar you could have spent on Dre Greenlaw. That's all I'm saying. All right. One more football-related thing. We thought Cooper Kupp was out of our lives with the Rams, but he goes to the Seahawks. He's from a place called Yakima, Washington, which is Eastern Washington. Went to Eastern Washington University. The only reason I know these things is because my son was looking at Washington State, and we drove through these dirt fields, and we're like, hey, that's Eastern Washington. There's the red turf. But anyway, he's going to Seattle. I think they vastly overpaid for him. If you look at all of his analytics, they're going into the toilet. But he's still solid. 3-45 is a little bit too rich for my blood, but that's where he went. So he must have had some offers out there. But yeah, he's a pain in the butt. The only thing I guess that doesn't fit for Seattle that I scratch my head at is they have Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was the best slot receiver in the league last year, and Cooper Kupp is known best to be a slot receiver. So one of those guys is going to have to play out of position. I would imagine it will probably be Jaxon Smith-Njigba just because he's a little bit younger and he could be an outside receiver. I think he can. He was an outside receiver and an inside receiver. Plus, Cooper Kupp was 60% in the slot last year and 40% outside. So they could both play outside. It's not a huge deal. But the problem is that Cooper Kupp, in terms of all his analytics, and some of it comes down to injuries, but all of his analytics over the last, not just last year, just the last like 3-4 years, just go further and further down. Some people thought maybe the Niners would be on in him. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. He's just going the wrong way. He's 31 years old and he's had a lot of injuries. So that's what's going on as far as around the league is concerned. A couple of things that I want to remind you of very, very quickly. One of the things I was working on before the show was a video of my wife, because she was at Reappell yesterday, and I was going to throw a video up there today of her talking about how great it was, but I didn't get a chance because all of a sudden I looked up and it was 10:15. I'm like, I'm late. But thanks to our good friends at Reappell Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center, Dr. Reappell is absolutely the best. Stem cell. Now, I've had stem cell. I had stem cell on Thursday, some nagging aches and pains. So it we'll find out in about a month. My wife's had it about a month. Her elbow's feeling better. Her shoulder's feeling better. Stem cell's the way to go. And Dr. Reappell does it better than anybody else. And then I told you, I'm doing the testosterone treatments, which when you get older, it's harder to lose weight. You're a little bit irritable. I'm not irritable at the Niners because of Kyle Juszczyk. I know what you're going to do. Irritable, hard to lose weight. You don't have the energy maybe that you used to do, the sexual drive you used to have. And I'm telling you, the way to go is these testosterone treatments. And if you've heard of them, and let me pop this up, because then you can use your phone and you can get an appointment today with Dr. Reappell and just go to the website and see the other things that they offer as well. But you're going to feel better. It's a one-time procedure, and then it's going to last a few months. So you've probably heard that you have to go in weekly for these things. It's a big pain in the butt. They're constantly checking your blood. They check your blood one time, see that you've got low T. They give you the proper dosage, not over, proper dosage. It's Dr. Reappell is a doctor after all. And they get you going and you feel much better. And that's how I do with testosterone treatments. And again, it's not every week. You're not getting a shot every week. It's one quick procedure. So if you click on the QR code right there, you can go right to the website and see what I'm talking about. Plus, Dr. Reappell and the whole crew, they do all sorts of stuff. The Reappell Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. So check them out today. Fine sponsor of the program. All right, let's get to a little Steph Curry talk, because the Warriors are taking on the Knicks tonight. And if you want to continue with the Niners, I'll be checking the chat line so we can still get back to that. And you know, so are on the board right now. We're at the Court Curry record piece, the 3-point record piece. So you see right there, that's from, was that Thursday night? And Steph, you can see how far ahead he is. So from a standpoint of, I'm going to show you something at johnlundunleashed.com. I think that's going to blow your mind, to be completely honest. Nobody now is going to catch him. James Harden's not going to catch him. Ray Allen retired. Lillard's not going to catch him. Clay's not going to catch him. Reggie Miller retired. LeBron James is not going to catch him. And it's amazing because LeBron's not a 3-point shooter, but because of longevity, there he is on the list. So nobody's got 4,000. So it got me to thinking to myself, is anybody ever going to catch Steph? Can anybody catch Steph? Well, currently no one can, but to just kind of take you behind the curtain here, when I started this piece, I thought to myself, someone's going to catch Steph, and here's how it's going to happen. That was kind of my angle in writing the piece. So you can see it right there on your screen. Will Steph Curry's 3-point record ever be broken? And there's Friday's show. And right at the beginning, we went to Steph, and there's that number again, as far as Steph Curry is concerned. So as I point out there at the beginning, March 13th, he did this 4,000th career three. And then you can see there in the numbers, and you want to read through this thing, how many makes he has per game. And you can see where it goes up. You see right there when he was a rookie at 4.8, and this just coincided with the league. So 4.8 by his fourth year, he's at 7.7. Then he's at 11.2. Then he's at 10. Then of course, you know, only 51 games there, but then 11.7 hurt 5 games. I didn't count that. Then it's 13 a game, 12 a game, 11 a game, 12 a game, 11 a game. So he's at 9.3. So I came into this piece thinking to myself, well, if Steph Curry, who, as you can point out, I talk about how many, you know, per game he's shooting and all those kind of things, but there's going to be a guy. So where Steph walks into the league in his first year, he's at 4.8, then he's at 4.6, then he's at 4.7, then it jumps to 7.7 his fourth year. And I'm talking about attempts per game. And so there's going to be somebody here. See where it goes 11.2 right there? There's going to be a kid that comes into the league that's a pretty damn good shooter. And because of the path that Steph Curry has provided that player, they're not going to walk into the league shooting 4, 5, 6 threes a game. They're going to walk into the league shooting 11, 12, 13 threes a game. And this thing is going to keep on going up. And so if that person does that for X period of time, they're going to catch Steph Curry. At least that was my logic. So then I wrote, I went down to here, and it says, who could catch him? Luka, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Tyler Hero, LaMelo Ball, Trae Young was supposed to be the next Curry. And so I went through each one of those guys and actually how long it would take them to catch Curry. None of those guys are catching Curry. None of those guys are catching Curry. So then I move it down here. It says, so who could break Curry's all-time mark, which will be at or near 5,000 when all is said and done. Now, to keep everything in perspective, Steph Curry has six of the top 7 3-point make years in the history of the league, and getting over 300 is really hard. Steph has 402. James Harden has a 379 year, and then everything else is Steph. And the only other player to make 300 in a year is, of course, Klay Thompson, who got 301 a few years ago. So take it down all the way to it's somebody not in the league now. All right, to just put this in perspective right here. This year, Boston takes 43.8 and makes 17.8. When Steph first got into the league, 10.2, so to 17.8, and 27 attempts to almost 44. So that's how much it's jumped since Steph has been in the league. When Steph was a rookie, Aaron Brooks, a guard out of Oregon, played for the Rockets. He made 209, and that led the league Steph's first year. So Steph's going to get about 300 this year. He always does. He has 252 on the year, which is second to Anthony Edwards, who has like 263 or something like that. So a person who enters the league, a rookie, would have to enter the league, play 70 games, which is maybe, for 15 seasons, have to average 4 makes a game, and that's still 4,400. So again, a player has to come into the league for 70 games for 15 seasons and average 4.2 makes per game, which is, you know, 3 is a lot. So 4.2, which is where Curry is, that's still 4,400. So that person is in range. But I guess what I'm saying is that when I first started this piece, I thought, well, it's going to be somebody who has a green light, is going to take 11, 12 a game, which is what Steph does now, but didn't at the beginning of his career. And so what I'm basing that on is 4.2 makes on 10 attempts per game. Steph shoots 42%. That's reasonable that somebody could do that, but they'd have to play 70 games over 15 seasons, make 4.2 per game, and they would be at 4,400 or roughly, because I think Steph's going to be around 5,000, still about 500-600 short of Steph Curry. So it's going to be a hell of a person who's going to be able to do it. And they're not going to have to be a better shooter than Steph, as I point out here. It's just they're going to have to start out. Steph's at a little less than 5 a game. But this is how that person, as you go down here, is going to have to start their career. Like, they're just jacking them up right away. Like, okay, you got the green light. You're a really good shooter. Jack, you know, 10, 11, 12 a game. And it can be done. It's just that person is going to have to be a hell of a shooter for 15 plus years. And that's going to be tough. So it's a good piece. I think you'll like it. I went over a lot of it with you, but there's still a lot that I quickly went over. So take a look at it. That's johnlundunleashed.com. I promote it all the time. If you don't know where to go social media wise, you can see our social media up at the top there. If you don't know anything about me, there it is. I got to update that. There's your latest YouTube show. Podcasts right there. If you click on those red things below each segment, you'll be able to see each of all of those. And of course, there's your blog. You click on that. And if you want some Unleashed merch, click on that and you can get Unleashed merch, merchandise. So there you go. That's johnlundunleashed.com. And there's the piece about Steph Curry, which take a look at. Because like I said, I thought it was going to be easy. I just thought, okay, somebody's going to be able to do this. And reality is, it ain't going to be easy. Speaking of Steph Curry, he's just like the rest of us. I don't know if you saw this, but I thought this was hilarious and total Steph. Here's Steph Curry. So he's in an elevator here, and this is after Thursday's game in which he got to 4,000, and somebody's asking him about the reality of turning 37, and we're all like this. So, yep, Steph's a big superstar and has $1 gazillion and looks like he never makes a mistake and all these kind of things. But getting old is something we can all relate to, and 37 is not old in life. It just is as a basketball player, but not for Steph, apparently, who's kicking Father Time right in the gonads. Here is Steph talking about turning 37.
4,000, way better than 37. blessed to have another year on this earth. Keep playing at a very high level at 37, but it sounds crazy. Especially when everybody in the locker room, you know, when they don't just say happy birthday, they have to remind you of the number. So we got 3 more. This is like kind of purgatory, 3 more before 40. You're way past 35, but I'm still trying to do it, so I'll accept.
I mean, I just think that's awesome. I think Steph is an incredible dude, and he's just like the rest of us, right? Like, you start getting near 40. I remember that. Like, 25 was kind of a – no, I mean, 21's an awesome one. My kid just turned 21. In fact, he had just got back, and he was in San Diego for a couple of days taking a break from spring break. And he's like, Dad, I was hanging around. Like, everybody was 21 then. I was down there, and it was really cool, and I could go to a bar, and I could do this, and I could do that. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. So 21's a big one, obviously. 25 is one where I remember, like, I got to get this going. Like, 25, because I told you, I graduated school. I worked on a cruise ship for a year. My parents were calling me constantly going, hey, we didn't pay for a college education so that you could work on a cruise ship as a bartender. You got to come home at some point. And finally, after a year and way too much partying and all that kind of stuff, I just woke up one day and got off at a port, put a piece of luggage together. We stopped at a port, as we often did, because it was a cruise ship that just went to all the islands, Hawaiian cruise ship that went to all the islands. I packed up a small bag, which is all I had, and a backpack. And I said, hey, I'll be right back, everybody. And went off to the port for a minute, had some time off, and just made a phone call, of course, on a payphone at that point, and got a reservation back to the mainland, hopped a cab back in those days, and just went to the airport, said, I'm done with this stuff. And it was about a year later. So that's what I did. But so, you know, so at 25, I thought, yeah, I better get going. 30 is a big one. Like 30, you're like, damn, I am not young anymore. Even though when you look back at 30, it's like, that's very, very, very young. But still, at the time, you're like, ugh. And then 35 is kind of like, okay, I'm getting close to 40, kind of like what Steph just did there. And 37, you're kind of like, damn, I'm getting really close to 40. Then 40, I don't know, I didn't freak out at 40. And then you start going, and then after a while, you're just like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm not like, I've told this story before. I don't even remember what birthday it was, but I just said, I'm done doing birthdays. I took that in my head. And when my son, George, was incredibly young, I was working in Dallas and I was running ESPN radio in Dallas. And I get this knock on my door. I had this big door and I get this knock on my door, and it was my then first wife and my son, and they had a birthday cake, and I hadn't told anybody it was my birthday. So I was embarrassed. And I'm like, get out, get out, get out. And then that honestly caused a rift in our marriage for probably 2 years. And I went home and I brought flowers. I'm like, I'm really sorry. Cause you know, you got your little kid there and he's excited to celebrate. She's brought a cake. That's very nice. And I hadn't told anybody. So everybody's like, what the hell, bro? Like, it's your birthday. You didn't tell us. And I was like, yeah, I hate my birthday. And that might've been around 40, something like that. So I was like, no, I don't dig it. I just do not dig it. So anyway, that's that. So I'm not a birthday person, but yeah, Steph's dealing with it. I mean, like I said, as far as what these guys are able to do later in life, like Aaron Rodgers, I think is done, but Brady to do what he's did at 45, you know, they show those pictures of like what George Blanda looked like and what Brady looked like. He's getting some help, but the way that Steph is still playing, his game is not falling off. Now the Warriors are doing a great job of making sure that his game doesn't fall off, but I mean, he's 37 years old. At 37, in the old days, a shooter like Steph, he's like a, you know, he's a six man off the bench bombing threes. You know, he's a Vinnie Johnson microwave guy. That's what Steph would have been in the past at 37. LeBron James at 40. You know, we can talk all we want about LeBron James, and we do. I don't like Taco Tuesday and the King thing. I've said that a million times. But if you don't respect LeBron James, you're just hating. I mean, he's 40 years old, and it's like, are you kidding? Like, he's as good as he's ever been. I don't know if you saw, there was a number, and they showed LeBron, like, by the last few years, and his numbers haven't dropped off at all. Like, it's like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's taking. I don't know what he's juicing. I don't know what he's eating. I don't know. Maybe he's just a genetic freak and he looks like it. Like LeBron with his shirt off, like I say, he looks like DK Metcalf or something, but I mean, the dude's rocked. And you're like, look, he's not my favorite, but I can't deny, like, at 40, you know, like Jordan at 40 was on the Wiz. And I think Jordan's the greatest of all time. Saw him, covered him, et cetera. I've said it again a million times, but LeBron James is 40. I'm 40. I'm a man. Like, that's it. Exactly. He's 40. Like, I don't know when Steph's going to slow down. I have no idea, but the way that they're doing it right now, that's why I'm saying, I think 5,000, like 5,000 threes, he's going to get 5,000 threes. Like, I don't see him slowing down at all. It's crazy. Exactly. 40. I'm a man. 60 is the new 40. 70 is the new 50. I love when people say that. The only people who say that is people who are getting to be that age. We have discussed juice. Hi, good to see you again. We have discussed juice ad nauseum this morning, but I'll go back to it. Absolutely. Again, it's a democratic situation. And if you want to go back to talk juice, we can. If you don't, you can go back in the show, or you can wait until I post the chapters afterwards, because I told you, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. They've been redundant, but we can discuss once again, and I can explain why. But it actually does not make sense. Let's see here. Hi, Mr. Joe. It's good to see you. Let's see who else. Anybody new in the that I have not acknowledged today? Yeah, I'm with you, brother. I mean, look, I don't want to hate on Juice, but he doesn't carry it. He doesn't catch it. He can catch it. They just don't utilize him, and they're giving him $4 million a year, which is 2-8, which is not, again, it's not a ton. But add everything up, and you add Luke Farrell, who they added to replace him in the blocking situations in which what he's supposedly the best at, and he and Farrell together will make $10 million. Dre Greenlaw makes 11. Who would you rather have? I'd rather have Dre Greenlaw at 11. They must not have liked the medicals. That's the only thing I can decide on that, or decipher in that whole thing. They just didn't like the medicals, but don't love it. Oh, you know what? Did I forget you? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Oh yeah. Todd wanted the dog to appear. Let me hang on a second. Let me see if I can get the dog to appear. Oh, I got to tell you the Bentley story really, really quick. No, I don't need solar. Thanks. I get more junk emails and now texts. Like, I thought that they were going to do a better job of like blocking all that stuff, but apparently not. Let me just say, people, what is she sending me? Please make sure to hit. Okay. People want to see the dog. I'll wait to, all right, let's see what she says. I'll wait to tell the story when the dog is in here. It's an amazing story about how we acquired this dog. Amazing. And amazing's too much. Amazing's too much. That's a great call right there. How many times, John Holmes, did we talk about the Bentley when it came to Gary Radnich? Quite a bit. So anyway, I mean, dude, it's constant. Like, it's just constant. And you look at, like, I thought it was going to get better by this point. Like, you know how when you watch those commercials, those Apple commercials, and it's not the main thing that they're selling. They got a bunch of different things. But I have seen on numerous occasions Apple and security, and I have an Apple whatever phone. I don't need to get the latest and the greatest. So maybe the 16 or whatever the latest one is a lot better at this. But I think I have like a 12 or a 13, whatever it is. And in one of their commercials, I know for a fact that they're talking about security, the iPhone security. Yeah. And it's got the Apple turns into like a lock, and it's like, not my phone. I get a million text messages from a million different solicitors, and I get tons of phone calls constantly. At least it's got a thing on there that says likely spam. But I apologize to anybody who ever would ever call me. If I don't have your name in my, like, if your name doesn't pop up and it's just a number, then it's going to voicemail, and I'll double check it, and I'll call you back or text you back if I know who you are. But I never, do people actually answer nowadays? Like, remember in the old days where you had a phone on the wall and it's like, all right, who knows who this is going to be? It could be anything. And you got to pick it up, because there was no, like, you know, there was no caller ID or anything like that. Caller ID is one of the greatest things to ever be invented. Like, because what you do is when you look at your phone, and like I said, we'll go back up because we're at the random portion of the show, but that doesn't mean that's where we are. Because we got to talk more about, we're actually at Curry 3 record piece at johnlundunleashed.com. Curry at 37, I played you that video. We have not talked 5:30 New York at Golden State. We haven't talked about the schedule or the Giants putting out their opening day lineup today. But we are at the random portion of the show, in which we're just kind of going through weird things. But I never answer a phone that does not have anything. Because when you were young, it was like, oh, who's this going to be? And then now you look at your phone. And this is no offense, like, my mom's probably watching, but I'm going to say this anyway. Like, I look down at it, and if it says mom, I think to myself automatically, okay, that's 20 minutes. You know, you look at that's how I look at each call. Like, okay, how long is that call? Oh, that's 2 minutes. I can do that. Oh, that call's 20 minutes. Oof, I'll have to call her back, you know. And then my sister will only call me if she's out on a walk. So, like, if she's out on a walk, she's got a lot of time. So that's probably 15 to 20. My mom's 20. My wife isn't very long. We just text. My wife and I will text. Occasionally, she'll give me a video call, because she's just like, hey, you've been out in the studio like for 92 straight hours. You good? Like, you fine? You coming in? Like, so we'll do those. We'll do like FaceTime calls every once in a while. My kid, I'll do a FaceTime call once in a while. My son was driving back from San Diego yesterday. And, kids are easy, because, you know, younger kids, they don't want to be on the phone. So he'll call twice a month, maybe. Mostly it's text, but he'll call twice a month, usually when he really needs money. Like when he texts and he says, I need money, and then I don't send him money, then he calls and goes, no, seriously, did you get my text? Like, I need money. And then that will give me an opportunity. That's the reason I don't send him money, is because the only time he'll actually call me and give me 5 minutes of uninterrupted time is if he really needs money. And so that's what you got to do with your kid. Like, if you keep sending your kids money and they never need it when they're out of the house, you'll get no interaction whatsoever from them. I can tell you this. Anybody, back me up on that. Everybody knows that. All right, let me move on. We are at the 5:30 Knicks at Warriors. And the only reason I bring that up is because not only is it Knicks at Warriors, but check this out. So here's the schedule. Down the stretch they come. So Knicks tonight, this is a challenging three-game stretch. Knicks, Nuggets. Nuggets are the first-round opponent right now, so that's a really interesting game on St. Patrick's Day. What should we do for St. Patrick's Day? You want to drink on St. Patrick's Day, by the way, Monday morning? Hello, Larry. And I got a lot of great St. Patrick's Day stories from years and years of doing radio shows on location on St. Patrick's Day. And I did morning shows for years. So I would get on. I'll just give you a little teaser. I'd get on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning, always at a bar. And you'd have green beer flowing and whiskey shots and everything. And by the time 10 o'clock would roll out, so I'd do a 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. morning show. By the time 10 o'clock would roll around, I mean, people are on their face at 10. And I'm like, hey, pace yourself, bro. You're an adult. Like, I got lots of good stories. I'll save those for Monday. But Knicks, then the Nuggets on St. Patrick's Day. That's a huge game because that could be your first round opponent. Bucks after that. And then it eases up, but it's still a road trip's a road trip. So you got Toronto. That should be a win. And then at Atlanta, at Miami, at Nollins, at San Antonio, who's given up, and at Memphis, who could be a playoff opponent. Then to the Lakers. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game road trip, and then you go home to Denver again, and then the stretch really happens. Houston, you could be in a battle for. Phoenix could be playing them for playoff position. San Antonio, as I said, has given up. At Portland, and the Clippers could be interesting at the bottom. And the reason I say that is, and the same thing happened, the same thing when I'm doing constantly about this is what happened to somebody else that I saw yesterday, because they were assuming the Warriors, as hot as they've been and as good as they've been, are playing for positioning up, and they forgot to look back. So that's what the standings look right now. And I'm not being a negative Nelly here. I do love now that the Warriors are slotting against the Rockets. They win that series. So the other day it was the Nuggets in the three, and the Lakers were right there too. So the first round a couple of days ago was Lakers in the first round, which I didn't love, and then Nuggets in the second round. And right now it's Houston in the first round. It would be Nuggets in the second round, which I could live with. Don't love the Nuggets matchup only because of Jokic, and they don't really have anybody, nor does anybody have anybody to match up with him. So I don't love that, and they're veterans. But young teams, I said this, I want to play the young teams if I'm the Warriors. And the Rockets in the first round, and they haven't been great, although when I look up, they've won five in a row. They were struggling there for a minute. So they've won five in a row, so they're back in the three hole. I would love that matchup in the first round. But what's funny is I'm so focused on looking at the teams ahead of the Warriors, and I'm not looking at Minnesota, and all of a sudden Minnesota's won seven straight and they're breathing right down your neck, and you could be playing in the play-in. So as great as the Warriors have been since they got Jimmy Butler, what are they, 12-1 with Butler and with Moses Moody in the lineup, with Moses Moody in the lineup, they're 15-1. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, they're clear of the seven. No, they're not. Like, Minnesota's all of a sudden going, hello, we're right here. And even the Clippers are only two back in the loss. Minnesota's one back in the loss. So as much as and as well as they've played, and as much as we're looking forward going, okay, three games in the loss behind the Lakers, three games in the loss behind Memphis, I don't hate that. And can you make up three games? Of course you can. You're 9-1 in your last 10. You've made up three on the Lakers, who were 6-4 in their last 10. And you've made up four on the Grizzlies, who are 5-5 in their last 10. And you've won six in a row. So you're great and you're hot, but Minnesota's actually hotter. So crazy in the Western Conference right now. So that's what's going on as far as that goes. And then let me throw the bracket at you. Love the bracket. If the season ended today, it does not, but it's still fun to look at. So the Warriors would play the Rockets. Yes, please. But then the Nuggets in the next round, I don't love. In fact, what I want is I want where the Lakers are. You see that 4-5? I think the Warriors would beat the Grizzlies. And like I said, what I've been consistent in saying is they could beat any of these young teams. Hell, they could beat Denver. They could beat the Lakers in a round, even though I don't love the Lakers or Nuggets matchup. because of veterans and because just of general matchup. But the young teams, can they do it round after round after round at their age? That would be my only concern. But there are no back-to-backs in the playoffs. Plus, it's not like you're traveling to the East Coast. So if you're traveling to Denver, you don't love the altitude, but it's not a long flight. If you're traveling to LA, not a long flight. If you're traveling to OKC, not a long flight. But now you're going to Memphis, you're going to Houston. Those aren't great flights. But still, not bad. And you're playing at worst every other day. And you're not playing, you're not, no back-to-backs. So where the Lakers are, I love. Because you play the Grizzlies in the first round. And then the Thunder, and I love the Thunder, total respect to the Thunder, but they're young. And I've said this before, you go in their place, you punch them in the face in game one and win that, the Thunder all of a sudden going, wait a minute, we were the number one seed. What the hell, bro? So I love where the Lakers are. I want that side. I want that side of the bracket. Because this side, yeah, you can beat the Nuggets, but now, or excuse me, you can beat the Rockets, but now you're on the Nuggets side. Don't love that. So I'd like to avoid the Nuggets and the Lakers, but you got to play somebody. But that's what the bracket looks like. Love the bracket. Love the bracket game. A lot of fun. All right, so that's where we are as far as the Warriors are concerned. Before we move off of that, let me just see where we're at here. Because I do have a Giants starting lineup. We try to do like a tight hour on Saturdays. We don't go like two and a half hours on Saturdays. I just like to do like a tight hour to say hello to everybody. To make sure everybody's good and survived Friday night. Let me just, before I go anywhere and go on to the Giants, which could make everyone leave. So please don't leave me. Because I would be very depressed. Wonderboy says, Warriors can win it all because the young guns are growing up before our eyes. Moody, Kuminga, Pods, ready to help Jimmy, Steph, Jimmy, and Dre. I don't disagree with you. I've always loved Moody, and I've always been thoroughly confused as to why he wasn't playing more. Always have been. Because I'm sitting there going, okay, when Moody enters the game, he has a mature game, and he does everything you're supposed to do. Deflects balls, plays hard defensively. When he's open for a three, takes it, lots of times makes it, doesn't make stupid moves, isn't inconsistent. I know what I'm going to get with Moses Moody. It's a really mature game for his age. And so I think to myself, I love it as a fan when I know what a guy's going to give me. I love it. If you're going to suck, I get it. At least I know what you're going to do. If you're going to be solid, I just want to know what you're going to do. I love consistency. Old players don't have consistency. Young players don't have consistency. I want guys who have consistency in the prime of their career. Now, having said that, the old guys on the Warriors have consistency, and you're getting more from the young guys. Like Pod since Jimmy Butler, and I know he was out last game. I don't know what he's going to do tonight, but Pod since Jimmy Butler came, the light went on for him. Like, oh, this guy. And that's some of the greatness of Jimmy Butler. The other day, in fact, you know what? I'll play this for you. I kept it on my video just in case, but I was really encouraged by what Kuminga did because if you were with the show on Thursday before they played Sacramento, I said, what's this guy going to come back like? Is his agent going to tell him in his ear, you got to get that contract. You got to go get 20. You got to be aggressive. You got to, you know, dominate the ball. It's like, no. The opposite is true. Play within the context of the game. Play within the flow of the game. Watch Jimmy Butler play. The game will slow down for you. Like, that's what I was hoping, and that's what he did. And then in the post game, that's what he talked about. Here's what Minga said.
As you see, Jimmy is very smart. He could get a wide open layup, but if he see you just wide open, just very small space, he's going to throw it to you. So it's just about knowing how to move around him because he's going to get you the ball. He's going to get you to where you want to be. And just being outside, watching how he's playing, you know, obviously his connection with Steph and Draymond and Moses and DP and the rest of the guys, it's just something I'm still trying to, you know, learn. And And obviously, it's going to get better. You know, it's just our first game, but just being around him and watching how he move, you know.
If I'm a Warriors fan, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Like, I don't know what happened with the agent as far as that goes. And I don't know if he's saying one thing, but the organization clearly, and Jimmy Butler clearly has talked to him and said, look, dude, you can be a superstar, but it's a mental game for you. You've got everything that really Jimmy Butler doesn't have, but Jimmy Butler was a second-round pick and just grinds and grinds and grinds, and you need some grind in your game. And clearly that rubbed off on him because he's like, I just let the game come to me. The game's going to slow down for me. He can get to the rim anytime he wants. I said this on Friday morning. He took one ill-advised three on the right side where I was like, no, off an offensive rebound, and I was like, no, that's not what you need to do. But outside of that, he played a really smart game, and he looked a little bit like Jimmy, like an athletic Jimmy Butler. So that's a great point by you, and that the young guys, Moody, I never had an issue with. Pod started out slow, but is understanding what his role is. And what Kuminga's got to realize is I have got to play with these guys. This is the way to do it. I'm going to come off the bench, but if we win, my contract's going to get taken care of. And it seems like for a game, and this is really easy when you're winning, and they haven't gone through any adversity, and they will. I keep saying that. Jimmy Butler, 12-1 with Butler, 15-1 with Moody starting. It's all great. But all of a sudden you look behind you and there's Minnesota 1-7 in a row, and you may have to still play in the play-in. And you have a tough three-game stretch that I just showed you, and it's not going to be easy down the stretch. And you have a six-game road trip? Now, those teams aren't overly taxing, but still, you're going on the road. And even with Jimmy Butler, like they lost that weird game in Dallas. Remember, everybody hated the owner and was booing him. They lost that game. It was like, you got to win that game. So anyway, there's that. Would anybody like to explain that? What's going on? I just, that's where the random part of the show comes in. I have no idea what that means. I just jumped in here. What's going on? What is happening? What's going on? Why are we talking about that? Let's see. What else do we have? I thought the saying was Wrangler butts drive me nuts, but I could be wrong. Like I said, I'm not a country person. Jesus brings it back to sports. Thank you, my friend. You got a Warriors 122-120 win tonight. 5:30. Got to find a place to watch that thing. Absolutely. What else do we have this morning? Good morning, Mike. I don't know if I've said good morning to you. Very nice to see you. Let's see. This is what I was referencing in my last discussion from Underboy. I don't disagree with you, man. I just draw is important. And you know this. Playoff-wise, it's who you play. It just is. And a lot of times, like, you could get one bad matchup, and that's Denver. Do I think just on paper, if you looked at the two teams, that just on paper, do the Warriors have overall more talent? Maybe. But there's this dude named Jokic who's just a freak. He's the most skilled center of all time. I didn't say he was the best, but he is the most skilled center of all time. And remember, I covered Arvydas Sabonis. Now, he was older, but he reminds me of Arvydas Sabonis in his prime. Just incredible, incredible player. Makes everybody around him better and understands that he's the axis for everybody around him. And he just does an amazing job. And nobody has anybody. And I'm not just saying Warriors. Nobody has anybody who can contain him. Nobody. Nobody on any team. I don't care. Embiid's always hurt. Like, who's the best centers? It doesn't matter. I mean, the guy's awesome. So I don't love that matchup. So they could beat a lot of teams, I believe, in the playoffs. It's just that when you get to that one team, Denver, don't love the matchup. When you get to the Lakers, don't love that matchup. I don't. But I think they could beat a lot of teams. And if they don't run into certain teams, I think they could go deep, no doubt. Good morning, Nate. Good to see you, my friend. Glad you could make it on a Saturday morning. And like I said, I got to get that fixed to where I don't leave the room every time I pop somebody up. That's got to be something that is clicked or isn't that the weirdest thing? Like, you're cruising around and it's not like I changed anything on the show, but all of a sudden, like, that thing is being weird. I'm like, what the hell's going on, bro? It's weird. All right. So here's where we are in episode 89. Thank you so much for joining us on a Saturday morning with John Lund Unleashed. Make sure you're subscribed on. We're not going anywhere, by the way. I just like to reset during the show every once in a while. We are live on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed. We are live with the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. Please subscribe there. We are live on Twitch. I see some Twitch people in the room talking. X at John Lund Radio. We are live. Good amount of people hanging out there. We are live on Instagram at John Lund Radio and Facebook. My personal Facebook page is John Lund Radio. John Lund. And then John Lund Unleashed, which you can subscribe to. Let me check in with, see if anybody's saying hello or good morning. And we are morning West Coast time, 11:30. We're still morning. Geez, I said I was going to do an hour, a tight hour. I can't even clear my throat in an hour. What are you kidding me? All right. Good amount of people. No questions in that room. So very nice. We're caught up on everything. Really quickly. Let's see. Who said you were old? Who said I was old? You, Tommy told you I was old. No, you're not old. I've seen your avatar. There's no way. No, not at all. Did I miss the dog's appearance? Yeah, I texted my wife. I don't know what's going on. Because I want to tell the story of how we got him, too, but I'm not telling the story until he makes an appearance. Should I call her? She's probably out. You want me to leave for a second? I can go get the dog. Hang on one second. I'm going to talk to her while I'm... Hang on one sec. I'll put her on speaker so you can hear. She's probably gone. Hang on. Probably shouldn't do this. I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't think she's gonna answer. Oh, there we go. Oh, there he is. Yeah, we have a dog request. Isn't that weird?
Oh.
Yeah, can we see the dog real quick? Yeah.
Sure.
Come here. Hang on. Come here. Up.
He's not in the
spider. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, come
here. He does not like to be grabbed. Come up. 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 What's
that's
up, dude?
Gently.
Look, there he is. Hey, look at the camera.
Yeah.
Good boy. Oh, you're such a good boy. Look at the camera so people can see your face. Oh, there you go. Oh, such a good boy. Yes, you are. Oh, you're such a good boy. He hates this. You can tell. He's like, let me go. Let me down. All right. Is that long enough? Have a good day. You need a bath.
Ew.
Hit the road. Go. No, I don't want to hang out with you now. Now you
want
to hang out.
You want a treat?
Go for a treat. Right. That's there he is. All right, there's a look at Bentley. So I got a great, oh, you're such a good boy. Now he won't leave. Oh, you're such a good boy. Now he's like, oh, because I say I pet him the best. He likes her. He hangs out with my wife way more than he hangs out with me. He's like, there's a favorite in the house. Like, you know that, you know, this is a dog owner or as a pet owner. Like, he follows her around. Like, if she leaves a room, he's out of there. Like, if we're hanging out and we're watching a movie and she goes somewhere, he's like, shoo. She goes to the bathroom. Shoo. Like, he's just like, he's attached to her. Right. Okay. Hit the road because it's cold and she's got the door open. Go. Okay. Oh, there you go. Okay. Now he's gone. All right. Very cool. The 49ers. Anyway, he's an awesome dog. He's a Bernedoodle, which is, I'm not a poodle guy, but he doesn't look like a poodle. He's a Bernese Mountain Dog, which they're usually giant, but he's a mini. So he's about 50 pounds. And for some reason, he'll jump up on our bed and always sleep by my feet. So I get no sleep whatsoever. But here's the story. This is a great, great story. I think it's great. I don't want to oversell it. I should have said it was an average story and then I could have sold it better. But, so the way we got him was we weren't looking for a dog at all. He's 100% hyperallergenic. And my stepchildren, who are in 9th and 7th grade, they're allergic to dogs. So we were moving into the house that we're into now. We're right in the middle of it. And so we had bought the house, but we weren't in the house. It was completely torn apart. Like I've told you, the kitchen's torn apart. The bathrooms are torn apart. Everything's torn apart. Like the whole friggin' place. We redid all of it. So we're not living in it. And it took about 6 weeks for them to do everything. So, and you know, just post pandemic, so it's hard to get things, everything like that. And so we're going out and we're getting stuff and tile and different counters and different things and different, whatever, you know how that works. So we're not looking for a dog at all because we're in our one house and we're packing things up. So there's boxes and there's stuff everywhere. So we're in that house and then we're getting ready to move into the new house, but we're doing all this stuff. So the last thing we need is a dog, right? So we're out one Saturday morning and we go into a tile place. We're looking for tile for, I don't even remember. Maybe it was a backsplash. Who knows? We get so much damn tile. Maybe it was a floor. Maybe it was a backsplash. Hell, I don't remember. Maybe it was a fireplace. Whatever. We'd read all that stuff. So we're in there and we're not looking for a dog. Let me reiterate. We're not looking for a dog. Kids were constantly asking, we need a dog, get a dog, get a dog, get a dog. We're like, maybe, but certainly not right now. So stop. So we go into this place and behind the counter, this guy has, and they're not tiny puppies, which was great, but they're probably all a few months old. And there's him. And then there's these other Bernedoodles that are like, there's like four other ones, but they're more black and white. So that's a kind of a unique color that he has, the brown. So they're black and white or gray. They're great looking dogs, but they're all just in a litter basically. And there's five dogs behind the counter. And so we're like, wait, this is a tile joint, right? The guy's like, yeah. But he on the side, the guy who owns the tile place on the side is a dog breeder for Bernedoodles. And so we're not thinking about it. And we're walking around the place and he lets the dogs out and they're all like cruising around and everything. But this one dog, that one, and he was named Bentley. He's very regal. So he was named Bentley and we just kept the name. And he's walking around and he kind of takes a liking to us and he's walking around and he's got a great personality. He's really fun and all that kind of stuff. And so we're like, well, this one's kind of cool. And the problem was, is like every question I asked this guy was the right answer. So I said, well, you know, our kids are allergic. Is he hyperallergenic? Yes. Does he shed? No, he doesn't shed. It's unbelievable. He's hyperallergenic. He doesn't shed. He's got a great personality. Plus he's past the peeing and pooping in our house stage of his life. Cause he's 3 or 4 months old, maybe even a little bit older than that. So we didn't have to from the beginning, like potty train him, even though he had a few accidents just cause you know, you're in a new place and he was a little bit nervous. So anyway, answers all the questions, but you know what? We get the tile and we're like, and so I look at my wife, he was like, I don't know. He's like $4,000. I mean, all of a sudden we're like, we spent so much money in this house. It's like, the last thing we want to do is spend like $4,000 on a house, or excuse me, on a dog, Lunda Doodle. Very well done. So anyway, the last thing we want to do is like, we're like, $4,000. What are you, insane? Is this dog like, you know, poop gold? I mean, what are you, insane? I'm going to go down to the, we're going to go down to the, you know, the pound or something. And so we're like, damn. And so we, you know, we'll think about it. So we get going, and it was a Saturday, like I said, and my wife and I are going out for dinner on a Saturday night. We're meeting people and we have a conversation about it. And the kids were with their dad. And so they weren't around. And so we're just hanging out and we're getting ready. And the guy tells us before we leave, another couple is coming to look at this specific dog because of his, you know, his color composition. And that's rare. So like I said, the other dogs were like black and white and gray, and they were really good looking dogs, but this one had a lot of brown, as you just saw. And he says, well, if you don't want the dog, there's another couple that's coming at 5:00 and they want the dog. And so I said, okay, whatever. And I just thought nothing of it. I didn't think we're getting a dog. Like, no way we're getting a dog. $4,000, way too much. We're in the midst of moving. So what the hell are we going to do with this dog? Like, there's boxes all over our house. We're moving to a new house. Like, no, this is not the time. And so we get home. I take a shower. I'm ready to go. Of course, she's taking, you know, forever, as women do. I think I'm having a cocktail. I'm sitting downstairs. I walk upstairs to check on her. And I look at my watch just for the heck of it, because the guy said 5:00 and I'd kind of thought about, forgot about the dog. And it's about 5:55. And I peek my head into where she's showering. I said, hey, it's about 5:55. I said, you know, how long till you're ready? And she said, oh, you know, whatever, X amount of minutes. And I said, you know, if you want that dog, remember, the guy said 5:00. And she didn't really respond to me too much. And then all of a sudden, I'm not kidding you, she must have had an epiphany, because she comes out of the shower, frantic, wet, whatever, and says, I want that dog. I want that dog. And so, like, of course, it's like it's like 4:59. So I call the guy and I said, hey, she wants the dog, but here's the problem. The guy doesn't pick up. I get his voicemail. And I say to the guy, hey, she wants the dog. She wants the dog. She wants the dog. She wants the dog. And, you know, I leave these voicemails. The guy calls me back, but it's like an excruciating 5 minutes. It's 5:05. And the guy calls me back and he goes, you can have the dog. He goes, the people are here, but I told them that that's your dog. And if they wanted a dog, they'd have to pick from the other ones. Very cool of the guy. So then we go down on Sunday. We go out, you know, whatever. We pick up the dog. And the guy says, I said, look, we can't take the dog right now because it's just chaos. We're between houses. The movers come in like a week. We're still packing up. We got a bunch of stuff in our one house. And then we're in our other house is being completely torn apart because we're redoing a bunch of stuff. I mean, seriously, kitchens, bathrooms, everything you could possibly think of. It's just a complete dumpster fire at this house. It's a mess. And so what do? We bring it out Sunday and we're going to surprise the kids with it. Now, after I put a tarp down in my SUV and the dog craps everywhere and it smells like death and we have to throw the tarp out and everything, we get to the we get to the place, the kids freak out. We call the guy back and we go, we can't give the dog back. And so then between the two houses, we've got this dog going back and forth, complete mess. And that's the story. So we bought our house, short story long, we bought the dog from a tile place is what we did, which is always where you're looking for your dog. Let's go back to some of the things. Jihad Campbell. I like Jihad Campbell, Mr. Joe. It's just, I don't want to take him in the first round. I don't want to take him in the first round. I love him. Off ball linebackers that aren't named Patrick Willis at number 11, or off ball linebackers not named Patrick Willis don't go at number 11 is what I should say. But yeah, anyway, I do like Jihad Campbell. I really like him. I'd like a linebacker in the second round, like Chris Paul out of Ole Miss, or there's a kid out of South Carolina, Knight, that I really like. Like I'm not doing that. They got Warner in the third round. They got Dre in the fifth round. Unless you tell me he's Patrick Willis, I'm not taking an off-ball linebacker at 11. But I understand what you're saying. Let's see what else. What did people think of the dog story? Is it too long? Probably too long. But I did what I could do. But yeah, anyway, and I came through. You gave me let's see. call your son FaceTime John with your dog. The thing is around the house as far as the dog, and then we'll reset some of the things that we have discussed today. The dog likes my wife, and anybody else is like, get out. Like, seriously, if she goes somewhere, the dog's with her. I don't know why for like a minute there, he was hanging out with me. It was like, she's leaving. Like, come on, you're missing. She's leaving. She's going to leave you. Plus, when is your dog like this? When we come home, we could be gone for 90 seconds. We could be gone for 90 days. He loses his mind no matter what. He doesn't pee in the house anymore like he used to, but he runs around, and I don't know this yet, and I don't know why. Somebody who knows dogs better than I do can explain this to me. He has to find something. So he's got a gazillion bones that in the middle of the night you're tripping on. He loves bones still. And if you come home, he's freaking out looking for a toy or a bone so he can present it to you. So he runs around. You come into the house. He runs around, and if he doesn't have something in his mouth, he's like, damn it. And he runs around the house and finds a bone and then runs up to you with it in, like, to present you some sort of a coming home gift. But yeah, still to this day, when he hates being alone. And when we come home, when one of us comes home, he loses his friggin' mind. Like, I have to open the door and let him run around in a circle for a couple of minutes in the front yard to, like, get his energy out. It's nuts. All right. Here's the lineup today for the Giants as we make an awkward transition. The lineup for the Giants against the Mariners today as we're winding down with spring training. And this is your opening day lineup. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, the Giants are taking on the Seattle Mariners. Here's your opening day lineup. At first base, Lamont Wade. So Wade, Adamas, Lee, Chapman, Ramos, Bailey, Flores, which I don't love at DH, unless he's Flores from 2 years ago hitting 23 home runs, Encarnacion. I guess that's going to be, Stremski, so I'm wrong there. Encarnacion and Fitzgerald and Webb. So almost, I guess I did say that it was, but Encarnacion, and that's going to be Yastrzemski. So close to the opening day lineup right there for your San Francisco Giants, because Logan Webb is going to be your opening day starter. So generally speaking, that's what it's going to look like. Are you impressed or not? Meh. I don't love it. Like I said, there's a lot of ifs. I would have liked to have, I like Wade, don't like him to lead off for my team. Hopefully Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be a guy that it looks like the guy he is in spring training and not the guy that had a 641 OPS last year. Chapman has torn the hell out of the ball, the cover off the ball in spring training. Please don't leave all your hits in Arizona. Ramos, we shall see. I keep saying this, first half or second half Ramos. Bailey, it would be nice if he could be like a tremendous defender, gold glove candidate every single year, hit 260 with 15 home runs. That would be amazing. Flores, hopefully you're not last year's Flores, the year before's. Encarnacion has had a nice spring. We'll see. Fitzgerald, I would have loved to have picked up Alex Bregman and played him as a super U, but we'll see. I don't mind Fitzgerald. Let's see if he's the guy from last year. A lot of ifs. But I'll say this. The starting rotation has looked really good. Logan Webb is Logan Webb. But Verlander has shown a lot of promise. Ray has shown a lot of promise. Birdsong has shown a lot of promise. Landon Roop, who I still think is going to be the long guy out of the pen, has been really, really good. I would love it if Hicks was a seventh inning guy, but I've said that a million times. So there you go. That's what's going on as far as the Giants are concerned. And by the way, if you're going to be there opening day, we should set up an opening day thing if people are going to go down to the game, because I'll be there for opening day. And since I don't have to be broadcasting a show at 10 o'clock in the morning, as I have over the last number of years from inside the stadium on the dirt, we should meet over at, I don't know, somewhere. And have some cocktails before the game, and then I'll go in and act like I'm a professional. All right, that'll pretty much do it for the show, because I try to do a tight hour. We're out an hour and a half. Juice is back, but why? And you can see there is Luke Farrell right there, who does or should be doing what Juice is doing, but they love him in the locker room. So they went from cold and calculated, at least for a moment, maybe Jed had a couple of cocktails and went, let's be warm and fuzzy. And they brought back use check. So a lot of people are saying, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think it does. But we'll see. And the scorecard, if you're just joining us, the latest on the scorecard for the Niners is that Farrell, Robinson, Jones, Weeks, Grant, Gifford, Pinnock, Taylor, Brown, Juice, Gibbons, Robinson, Botch, either extended or re-signed or brought in. Debo, no more Juice. Take him off that list. Hargrave, Collins, Floyd, Pepper. So that's what we're looking at right there. That is the scorecard for the 49ers. What do you think of it? And if you missed the show right at the beginning, that's what we did. We talked a lot about Juice, and so you can go back, or when I post the recap and the chapters, you can click it right there. But I talked a lot about Juice to start the show. Juice is back, but why? So there you go. Seems redundant, and they spend $10 million between those two players, $10 million between those two players that are on the front cover. Greenlaw cost $11 million. I would have probably rather had Greenlaw, but like I said, I think that there's some sort of a flag with the Achilles. That's what I think. Thanks to Todd today, who really filled us up today as far as the supers were concerned. Car bombs. I may have to do one of those. The dog. See, there you go. We got, oh, there's Kolsky. Sorry, I didn't mean to mix those two up. Let's see. Yep, Bender. Where did you ask for the dog? There you go. The dog. So we did get the dog on the show. So there you go. Thank you for the supers, Todd. I really, really appreciate it. Anything else on the chat line that I must get to before? And again, remember, not only do we do 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, we do 10 a.m. as we've just proven to you on Saturday. And then if news breaks, when news breaks, we'll jump on here at any particular point. I do have a brand new piece that I want to show you one more time that I think would be worth your time if you just joined us today on johnlundunleashed.com, where you can find everything about the show. So there I am. There are your social media places to be. I got to update the latest YouTube show, but if you click there, you'll get all the YouTube shows. If you click there, you'll get all the podcasts. And there is your blog, the latest being Mr. 4000. Will Steph Curry's three-point record ever be broken? You can recap the 49ers offseason there. Tons of stuff on the blog. That is johnlundunleashed.com. And oh, by the way, if you love merch, there's your merch right there. If you click on that, you can get merch. Merch. Look at that. Merch, I tell you. Lots of cool merch. I do have the hat right there. I have it in the black. My wife has that right there, the cup that most women do need. And this is a cool sweatshirt. I have that sweatshirt as well. So anything you like. Oh, Mike ordered the bucket. Look, it goes black or white. So there's different colors, different sizes on everything. So check everything out. That is merch from John Lund Unleashed, something I haven't talked about in a long time. So there's that. Thanks to everybody for hanging out today. Do remember John Lund Unleashed on YouTube on Bay Area Sports Collective. Thank you today for watching on X at John Lund Radio, on Instagram as well, Facebook, all of those places. Thank you for hanging out. Everybody have a great day. I hope everybody, by the way, I owe you merch. I owe you merch. So we'll get on. I got to get on that today. As a matter of fact, what else do we have today? Anybody else? Any questions, comments, thoughts? Let's see. Yeah. Pine Needle, I'm with you 100%, brother. Hey, look at, I'm staying on the screen while everybody that's wild. I think you're right. There has to be something Greenlaw's medicals. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Look, they probably weren't comfortable. They probably were not comfortable with the Achilles, coming off the Achilles and giving him multiple years. I do know this for a fact. They were comfortable with a year. They wanted to do a make good deal. From what I understand, in the 8 to 10 range, they might have gone that high. But when it came to 3 and 35, and again, I looked up this morning his contract. It's not posted yet on Over the Cap or Spot Rack, so I haven't seen it. So we'll see. But they clearly were uncomfortable with the medicals, which means the Achilles, where Denver was probably desperate enough to do it, and we shall see. So when I look at Juice and I look at Farrell, which I think is redundant, and I see $10 million spent next year, well, and again, on average, doesn't mean next year, on average, because Farrell was 3 years and 20.25 and Juice was 2 and 8, I see $10 million a year AAV, and I say to myself, well, Greenlaw was 11, and I'd much rather have Greenlaw. So that's just kind of how I looked at it. But you know, we should see. Means dick or asshole. London Doodle will be cute. Does it really mean that? You're right. You know what? I have heard that before. Nine or nine bang. I have heard that before. In fact, somebody has told me that. Yeah. But how could it mean so many such different things? A dick and an asshole, totally different things. So I don't know. Anyway, is this true? Oh, I've got a great David Blaine story. Is that true? I didn't see it. David Blaine. Hi, William Hurst. David Blaine came into studio one time with Tommy and I. And he did a card trick. I'm not kidding you. Literally this close to my face. And there's certain things like, okay, I know how you figured it out. And he was super nice to us. David Blaine came in. He performed in Oakland. I can't remember which theater. But he gave us backstage passes. It was really cool to my son and my wife and all this kind of stuff. We had a great time with the guy. But he came into studio when I was working with Tolbert. And I'm not kidding you. This close to my face did a card trick. And completely fooled me. And I was like, what just happened? Like, did I fall asleep? Did you put me in a trance? How did you just do that? It was inches away from my face. And I was like, concentrating, like, I'm going to catch this guy. He's going to do something. Amazing. Amazing dude. Like, really amazing dude. What else we got? Thank you very much, man. That means a lot to me. It really does. Thank you, Ryan. Super busy this morning. We wanted to check in real quick to show love and support. Love and support right back at you, man. I hope you have a great Saturday and a great weekend. And I'm sorry you're so busy, but very cool, bro. Thank you, man. It means the world to me that you. Hey, I got to check in real quick. My wife is a sweetheart, man. Puts up with a lot of stuff, I got to tell you. All right. Smash the like button if you would. I would love that. It really helps the algorithm. Not a cat guy. not a cat guy. Seen a lot of stuff, people saying cat over dog. Again, that's cool, man. I am totally fine with cat over dog if that's the way you feel. Cats are just like, they just look at you like, what the hell, bro? Just food in the dish and move along. Food in the dish, move along. Like, that's the kind of cats I've had. I know there's just like that dog. Like, our dog is totally different than any other dog I've ever had. But you look at something else and you're like, okay, hey, good morning. Great following, by the way. NorCal Refrigeration HVAC. Kyle told Jed, never go full rebuild. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But I guess my problem would be, I understand, you know, if you want to go warm and cuddly for just a second, I understand that. Go warm and cuddly on Dre Greenlaw. You know, he ripped his Achilles for you in the Super Bowl. Go warm and cuddly on Dre Greenlaw. Warm and cuddly on Kyle Juszczyk. And I just don't want to be the bad guy here. But he had 19 catches last year, 33 in 2 years. He had five totes of the ball last year, and one was a key fumble. He's not a good enough blocker to keep around. A 69 rating, nice. And his blocking score, 69.2, that's below average. The reason they brought in Luke Farrell is to be a move tight end and blocker. He can be a guy out of the backfield. He can play fullback. He can catch it well enough, and he's 6'5", 255. He's the guy you want hammering a linebacker, clearing a linebacker out of that hole on third and two. Him. That's who you want. And you paid him over $6 million to do it. So all I'm saying is I get what all these guys are saying. A lot of the insiders are like, this makes a lot of sense. This is great. It makes a lot of sense from a locker room perspective. From, hey, man, we lost a lot of guys and we need somebody in there to be like, things are cool. It's fine. It's good. We need another leader. I get it, man. But you're paying $4 million a year for that leader because he's not carrying it. He can catch it, but you're not utilizing him in that way. And he's a below average blocker. So I'm confused because you brought in Luke Farrell to block and to do exactly what you want Juszczyk to do. This guy's a move tight end, only caught 12 balls last year, and you're paying him $6 million. And between he and Juszczyk, you're paying those two together, AAV, $10 million. When you're trying to cut back, that doesn't make sense to me. You made the move to get Farrell, which right away I went, okay, juice is gone. And then you brought him back to be great in the locker room. That's it. That's the only really above average thing that he does. Like, he knows the numbers. David Lombardi knows the numbers, and he's really good at it. But again, he's, you know, I won't say it. He's great. He's amazing with the numbers. He really is. But they're giving him a 2-year, $8 million deal. That's all I know. And you don't need to bring him back. Then if you brought him back, here would be my problem then. And here's how I would counter that. If you brought Juice back, then don't sign Farrell. Because Farrell's not a number two tight end. What they need is they need a tight end who will catch the ball. And there is a ton of that type of player in this draft. A ton. They can find a number two tight end to catch the ball. Finally. Luke Farrell's not that guy. He's an above average blocker at 6'5", 255, who caught 12 balls last year in Jacksonville. He is not a pass catching tight end. He is a blocking tight end. And he can be a move tight end. They used him that way. And he can do that. So you either keep Juszczyk or you sign Luke Farrell. You don't do both. Like, even if Lombardi's right and you look at the amount of money they would have lost and all those kind of things and dead money on Juszczyk and everything, whatever the case may be, that's fine. So maybe you don't actually lose, but then don't sign Luke Farrell for $6 million AAV, $6+ million. He's at 20.25, almost $7 million a year. So don't sign that guy then. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, fine, but those two guys are redundant, so don't sign them both. And the best thing Juice does, love the guy, but the best thing Juice does is he's a great locker room presence. And that's warm and cuddly, and that's not cold and calculated. And they've been cold and calculated. That's all. That's my only point. I love Juice. Kyle Juszczyk's an awesome guy. That's why he's here. If he was a jerk, if he was Debo Jerkishnish, if he was the put Debo's personality on Kyle Juszczyk, he's not back. He's not back. That's all. All right, I think that'll do it. Love y'all. Thank you for making the time on a Saturday. I appreciate people just like, hey, I'm really busy on a Saturday, but I had to check in. But that is awesome. Thank you for checking in today. Just one more time. John Lund Unleashed, YouTube, John Lund Unleashed, Bay Area Sports Collective. We are on Twitch today and X and Instagram at John Lund Radio. And check us out on Facebook. And please make sure to tell all your friends and enemies. And one more last time, remember, Riopel, Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Jeffrey Riopel, I was there on Thursday. I did the stem cell. My wife's been doing the stem cell. I will have a video of her, by the way, talking about it on Monday. I almost had it for today, but I ran out of time. I looked up and I was like, whoa, we're late. and to make an appointment right there. And remember, I'm telling you about stem cell. I'm also telling you about the low T and testosterone, which I'm doing, which is making me feel awesome. Check that out and click on that QR code. Use your phone right there and click on the QR code and you can make yourself, or at least go to the website and go, oh, okay. And then they have a form right there and you can get yourself an appointment. Dr. Riopel, thank you for sponsoring the show. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Great people, good friends. And we've been going there for years. All right, that is it. That is it for a Saturday edition. If, like I said, anything breaks, we'll be there before. And if not, then we'll be back at 8 a.m. on Monday. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed on Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure you're subscribing, giving us the thumbs up, and keeping those alerts on. Love you. Have a great Saturday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!